On this episode, I help a seasoned marketing executive understand how to market herself for a role that values her 25 years of experience and position herself for a new career search after 50. You're listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity around your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn.
I am excited to be speaking today with Barbara Miller, who has agreed to participate in a Package Your Genius spot coaching session. And today, Barbara and I are going to talk about how she can package herself for a new career search. So welcome, Barbara, to Package Your Genius. And thank you for showing up here to share your story and hopefully help others through your journey.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So as you were telling me a little bit earlier, Barbara, you are an executive who worked for over 25 years with Sony. And now you've reached the time in your career where you are kind of figuring out a second act of sorts. And you are looking to package yourself for a position that values your experience, your marketing creativity, and all of the wonderful expertise that you have cultivated throughout your career. But you found yourself, you know, in, I think, a familiar place for many people who start the job searching process after being in a role for a while and you know, kind of so much has changed, right, out here in the career searching process. So can you tell us what your challenges have been as you shared them with me in terms of finding a new position and really communicating all that you bring to the table?
Absolutely. So I spent actually 20 years with Sony, and I have over 25 years of professional experience. And, you know, when you spend that long a period of time with a company, you tend to grow up in the company. And my experience from a interviewing job search perspective has mostly been internal and looking for opportunities internal. So it's been a while since I've looked outside of the company for a position. I'm now sort of in that process of understanding how the landscape has changed in the job search. Because believe it or not, back when I started, there were still newspaper ads. and that's how I got my first job at Sony, through an ad in the classifieds. So, you know, with the onset of a digital landscape and social media, what I'm finding is that, you know, everything is done online, everything is done through LinkedIn and other social media sites that are geared towards professionals and professional conversation. And also, I think that there's this growing millennial audience of talent that a lot of companies are flocking to because they feel like with the social landscape, they need a digital native to be part of their workforce. And, you know, it's not even that it's the competition with millennials. It's just a different way of going about getting that interview or finding that right fit with a company. And I'm finding that, you know, within that environment, you've got hundreds of people applying for the same job. And a lot of it is about the network that you build and that ongoing conversation and a lot of patience.
Okay. And so I'm assuming that, you know, you've had to update your resume, update your LinkedIn profile, and really begin to learn how to talk about yourself and what you bring to the table. What type of position, number one, did you leave? And then now, as you think about the future roles that you could bring your expertise to and really contribute something powerfully to, what type of position are you looking for, or at least are you kind of thinking about?
So I left Sony Corporation as a head of brand activation, and that was really responsible for our digital channels, earned, owned, as well as paid media, and also retail execution and experiential. My background with Sony has been in marketing execution, digital marketing, content marketing, and e-commerce. And the role that I'm looking for is really kind of rolling all that up into a senior marketing leader position. So either a senior VP or a chief marketing officer, depending on the size of the company, where I can take those years of working with large teams that are responsible for marketing discipline and executing to bring about brand awareness, customer retention, customer acquisition, and engagement. And so, you know, for me, my strengths are really about people management, coaching, transformational leadership. So really taking a division from point A to point B, and the change management process that goes along with that to effectively achieve the goals of growth and profitability within a company.
Now, I will add a caveat, because you did mention that, you know, before we hopped on, you mentioned that while you want to secure a role that is appropriate, I think, in terms of it's the appropriate level for your level of experience and expertise, you're not necessarily looking to work in, what did you call it? The environment doesn't need to be...
I think what I was speaking to earlier was, you know, I've been in a very established brand for a long time. And so I don't necessarily need to be in that established, in, you know, corporate environment. A startup environment is also an opportunity that I'm looking at, because I think startups kind of give you the breath to be entrepreneurial and to create something new that doesn't, you know, current. And that's one of the things that I'm passionate about. I'd like to start things, and I like to be the first at doing something and to be entrepreneurial about what it is that I'm doing. I'm also at this point in my career looking for a company that has a connection to the community, because I think that we all as human beings need to give back, and a company that's a priority for them to give back to the community, to be engaged with the community, to be aware of the community and the environment, that's important to me. So, you know, going at it this time, I'm really looking at what are the values of that company, and does their values align to my values?
Okay, perfect. So I want to take this conversation in, I guess if we were creating an outline, we have two main parts. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the type of place you want to work for. And then later I want to talk to you about specific things you can do to make yourself attractive to a company that fits this profile. So I love that you are so clear on where you want to go. I love that you you know what's important to you. So many people are not, you know, they're not clear on the fact that being a creator and innovating and able to bring their ideas to the table is kind of a deal breaker. And if they're not able to do that, they don't feel energized at work, and they're not happy where they are. And so I think with going into the situation with that as kind of the environment that you know you want to work in is critical. And so it sounds to me that you've almost painted a picture of your ideal company, right? So I'm hearing a younger company that's not, you know, this enterprise big brand like a Sony. So a younger company that is still trying to find its way. It's kind of on that upward trajectory. So they're on the way up, they're growing, and they want to figure out how do we keep growing or how do we grow faster. So a startup, a company that values innovation, but also may find themselves growing and reach a place where things change and they need a new type of, they need other people in the company who can help manage that change. It's actually something I was talking to a client with recently who was kind of describing the path of the startup company. So the startup company starts out and they're young and they're scrappy and everything's great and they're growing. They have a big idea that they kind of rally everyone around, and that idea takes off, right? And so as the idea takes off and the company grows, they're not really this small, scrappy company anymore. You know, growth brings a set of challenges that the people who may have been there in the beginning may not necessarily be the best equipped for. And so they kind of reach that next stage of startup growth where they are facing some of the challenges of a larger business, a larger organization, more revenue, a larger staff that they have to manage through. And so when you use terms like change management, but also wanting to remain innovative and creative and working in an environment that values that innovation and creativity, I'm thinking of a startup that may be just past that initial phase where the big idea is working well, but now they're growing and things are kind of getting getting away from them. I think the first company that comes to mind is an Uber, right? And I guess that's just because they've had so many gaffes in the news lately. So it seems like as they're growing, they're hitting some of those challenges, and their work, their current workforce, you know, is growing, and they may not necessarily be equipped to address the things that follow that initial startup phase. So I think the first thing you need to do is you need to create a list of target companies that fit this profile, right? So, and you may have done that. I'm sure you've been thinking about companies that are kind of in that range, but you need to get super specific around, you know, researching what companies, what size company is this? You know, what's the revenue of this company and what are their current goals, right? So a company that is has a lot of potential to reach a bigger phase, but they also may be kind of hitting that place where it starts to get sticky and they need the expertise of someone like you who can help coach their team, guide this transition, and even from the marketing perspective, maybe guide the management team, like a team of young marketing managers. How do you guide that team as the company is on that trajectory of growth? So find, you know, make a list of targeted companies that are in that phase. So that's going to be some research for you. And then I think in terms of targeting, let me pause because I just said a mouthful. How do you feel about that? Like kind of creating a list of 10 to maybe 20 companies and being very intentional about finding everything out about them. Who's there? Who do you know there? Who's connected to someone who's connected there? You know, and really being intentional about the companies that are on your list. So how do you feel about that?
So I think that's great advice. I actually have started to create that list of companies that I would love to work for, both based on the area, the metropolitan area that I'm in, and then, you know, potentially some companies that are relocation areas that I've targeted. So I have started to look at that. And I do agree that I think from a marketing perspective, starting with a company that maybe doesn't have a well established marketing department. I have the expertise to help them build that. For me, marketing is both internal and external. So I think a lot of startups don't necessarily do a great job of internal marketing. They may have started to do the external marketing, but you need to keep your teams motivated and you need to understand what your employee base looks like. So for me, one of the other values that I have on my list that I'm looking for is a company that is very much tapped into diversity and inclusion, and not just having a diverse workforce, but also making sure that inclusion piece is in there, and it's a working part of their everyday culture and environment, that everybody feels like they're included in the environment that they're working in, and that their needs are being attended to, or at least people are aware of sort of who they are and what makes them special. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, if everybody kind of knows what to do that, because in a startup environment, what I've seen is that you have a couple of people who either graduated, with their MBAs together, or came out of one company and had an idea and then built that idea out, and that idea became this startup business, and they've been kind of all hands in trying to keep things running and can't step back to develop the right strategic direction for a company. And I think strategic planning is one of those things that is critical and something that I've experienced in my career.
So that makes me think of a few things. Number one, that you said strategic planning. Another word that we kind of threw around, or I heard through how you were describing your gift of working with people, was coaching, transformational coaching, and kind of team building. And then also you said thinking about the geographic area that you're in, so the greater New York City area companies that are there. I think when we talk about startups, I think there are obviously some opportunities in the New York City area, but I think if relocation is not something that you want to do, would you be open to consulting and kind of being a person who kind of comes in and does the strategic planning, does the team building? Maybe you come in twice a month to work with the marketing team. I think startups are a bit more flexible on how things can work. It may be a situation where you need to be there to do the type of work that you're doing. But if you could lead an aspect of the work by not necessarily being there on a day-to-day basis, is that something you'd be open to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Consulting is definitely on my list of things. I think for me, and maybe you can help me with this, is really kind of understanding how do you build out that portfolio to pitch as a consultant to a company, because that's kind of where I'm stumbling. And I've had conversations with individuals who are like, oh, you'd be the perfect consultant. You should start your own consulting business. But nobody seems to like what's the playbook look like to get that off the ground?
Funny you should ask. Now, so that's a perfect segue into our second part of the conversation. So number one, to recap for everyone, create that targeted list of organizations that fit the criteria that you have for your new working environment. And I think in addition to the criteria for working full time, so a full time employer, they have the values that align with yours. They value diversity, innovation, creativity, and they're looking for someone who is a leader. So that's part one. I think also make a list of or be aware that you could potentially be a consultant for those companies. So be thinking at it kind of, separated in your mind, like these are companies I could work for or potentially consult for. So now let's talk about you and how do you position yourself as an expert who can attract opportunities. And I think the pathway is similar for both full-time employment and consulting. So this is the perfect segue. So the first thing that I want you to do, and I'm sure you've been thinking about what you brought to your career over those 25 years, but I want you to get very, very clear on the value that you added, the transformations you created, the accomplishments and success stories that you can start to build kind of case studies around to really characterize the value that you bring to the table. And so let me step back a little bit. You may say, well, how do I find case studies? Or someone listening may say, well, how do I identify my case studies? Case studies are typically very much tied to instances in our working life that I like to call peak moments. And that's not for me. It's from a book I read and recommend called Do More Great Work by Michael Bungay Stanier. So I'll talk about peak moments in a second. But you want to be thinking about, and this is anyone who's trying to characterize the value that they add and what they bring to the table and what's unique and special about their gift. You want to think from the external perspective, what is it that people always thank you for? And so as you reflect back over your time at Sony, what was it that your colleagues, your superiors, the people you're managing, what was it that they were always thanking you for? What was it that they always kind of came to you and said, I really appreciate your help on this? The other side of that is, what is it that people are always asking your help for, right? So that could be helping them have a difficult conversation, helping them, get a marketing initiative unstuck and moving again, helping them manage, difficult team members. It could be any number of things. And then you want to start to look at the common threads that you see between what people are asking for your help with, what people are thanking you for, because those are essentially the very clear problems that you solve. And understanding the problem that you solve is critical, especially when you are going out to pitch yourself from a consulting perspective. So that's internal or external, right? So what are people thanking you for? What are people asking you for your help with? What problem do you solve? If you want to think about yourself and what really gets you going and gets you energized and it's going to lead to your fulfillment, also want to think about those peak moments. So times in your working life where you felt physically energized and excited and that you were growing and being stretched by projects, and try to tease out what is unique or similar about those peak moments. So is there a common thread that ties them all together? Was it, were all of your peak moments tied to working in groups? Were all of your peak moments tied to, coming up with a new solution, a creative solution to a challenge that the organization had for years? You mentioned, wanting to produce things. Were all of your peak moments tied to, especially when you think about marketing and the creativity of it and brand management, were your peak moments tied to coming up with fresh perspectives and new ideas for digital? And then once you have kind of a nice list of thank you moments, what people are asking you for your help with, what problem you're solving, as well as those peak moments, the things that only you can say, you can answer, right? Then you want to build kind of narrative case studies around that. And this is something that we talk about and talk through very extensively in my Package Your Genius group program. And also I cover it to an extent in the Branding Box, which for anyone listening who doesn't know about either, you want to research Package Your Genius Academy and the Branding Box to help you kind of get your case studies together. But the number one question people ask is, well, where am I putting these case studies? Case studies, well, before I get to where you put them, how do you create a compelling case study? And it doesn't have to be pages and pages long, but typically I advise that people create kind of that narrative arc, right? So what was going on in the beginning? What was the situation before you came and solved this problem? What was the problem? You know, what did you notice? What was your approach? And then what was the outcome? And so I know that for you, having worked for all of those years, you mentioned that you were able to lead to business growth in different areas. So you really want to pull out those specific instances that, you know, your most compelling instances of being able to do that, because essentially you want to communicate to these startups and the companies that are on your target list. You want to give them a story of what you were able to do elsewhere that you could potentially also do for them, right? So you always want to think of the company you're courting, keep them in mind, right? So like, what is it that they need? Not how do I pitch myself to them, but what is it that they need? What problem do they have? You know, what is so obvious to me that they seem to not even be able to see? What are they struggling with and just, you know, staying up late trying to figure out and bumping their heads up against the wall with, that for me would be effortless to solve because this is what I do. This is what I've done for the last 20 years. These are skills that I have honed just by virtue of, you know, working in a big organization and seeing this up close, right? So you really want to create the case studies with kind of the companies and the challenges that you want to solve, the companies you want to work with, the challenges that they have in mind. And then not so much that you're trying to create your case studies to tailor them to the company. Your experience is your experience, but you want to make sure that you're painting a picture of the before, the during, and the after so that they can really see the value of your work. Now, once you have a few of the case studies and you can kind of you've created this narrative around what you've been able to do. From a job searching perspective, obviously you want to drop information into your resume. I love putting case studies in the position descriptions on LinkedIn. So, you know, if you don't have anything in, you know, for each job that you have on your LinkedIn profile, if you just have the title of the job, go deeper and talk about the role and then add in those case studies so that when people find themselves on your LinkedIn profile, they can get a sense of not just what job you had and the role you had, but actually the work that you were able to do and the difference that you were able to make while you were there. And then in terms of the consulting piece, I don't necessarily feel like you have to have a website from the beginning. Obviously, that might be something that you have on the back burner and you plan to create at a later time. But having a graphic designer pull together, you know, a PDF of that is almost a portfolio of some of the challenges and really outlines the opportunity for you. Like, I want you to put your marketing hat back on that you would have used at Sony, right? And put that on you. Like, how do you make you compelling? You know, I'm sure that you were one of the first, as you mentioned, innovation is important to you. You like being at the beginning of something and helping to outline some of those the new approaches to a field that people don't know much about, uncharted territory. Maybe that is the theme for this PDF that you have a designer pull together that talks about moments in innovation where you were able to bring your creativity to the table and solve challenges within your organization. And then maybe also talk about your passion projects and the things that you do on the side where you're bringing innovation in a different way to these organizations. So I would say absolutely, you know, we want to make the LinkedIn profile more robust in terms of telling your story. But from a consulting perspective, you could also create a separate document. And then lastly, I talk a lot about the elements of personal brand positioning. And so telling your story is really the first element of it. But the last element is kind of broadcasting your story and getting that out there. And so I immediately thought for you that you have so much expertise, so much wisdom, just so many great ideas and stories, I'm sure, that you can share from your time in those marketing trenches, right? And I think it would be awesome if you could start a thought leadership campaign on LinkedIn where you start to talk about, with the idea of the challenges that these companies you want to work with have, how can you start to create content that speaks to some of the solutions that they need, right? And then use your experience from your working history to illustrate, you know, how you've solved those problems in the past and how they could approach some of these challenges in the future. Because you really want to start to get eyeballs on your LinkedIn profile. You want people to start thinking of you as a leader. You've been kind of head down, right? We're doing the work for these years, but now you've got to talk about the work that you've done and start to share solutions that can impact a broader audience. So it's kind of like how we're having this coaching session and it's going to be available for other people to learn from. You need to dig and excavate out those, you know, experiences that, yes, your colleagues know and other people who worked with you know, that could potentially be, you know, mindset shifting and business changing for a whole other audience of people who weren't there, who didn't witness it, who don't know all the things that you were able to do. But there's wisdom in your experience that you can extract to start to, number one, support these growing companies that you have in mind, but also attract them to you because they can see your expertise.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that makes sense. I like the idea of building thought leadership content on LinkedIn. That's something that I've had in the back of my mind, but never really figured out how to put context around it. So I do think that, you know, to your point, building out the case studies become that thought leadership content, and I can leverage LinkedIn as a platform to communicate that. So I definitely like that. I also like the idea of kind of breaking away from a traditional resume on LinkedIn and going a little bit deeper into project success and telling that story within my LinkedIn profile, because I do think right now my profile is probably very traditional to the layout of my resume, with a couple of differences, but for the most part, it's a chronological resume representation that I have on LinkedIn. So I think that makes sense too, and I'll definitely take a look at that. And for me, I do agree. I think that my strengths are really in that creative component of launching a project or launching a platform or creating an infrastructure where there was none, and putting my mark, you know, my mark on things that way, and being able to say that, you know, I was a pioneer, an engineer, in uncharted territory. I like you use that term. I like the uncharted territory, because I do think that is really what I'm passionate about.
I love it. So we could talk all day, obviously, but I think this is a great starting point. One last thing I did want to share with you. I wrote a note to say, you want to obviously start to tell your story and position yourself as an expert online, and you're going to do that through thought leadership, basically telling the stories using anecdotes from your career to illustrate potential solutions for modern day challenges or for these startups. But also, because you were such a senior executive in your field, I want you to also make sure you're using your network, right? You know a lot of people. You have access to a lot of people. So in addition to making sure that you're building up your brand online, I also want you to think about the people that you know who are in senior positions at not necessarily corporations, but organizations. So organizations that focus on the startup community or women in tech or women in leadership or diversity in leadership. You probably have people at your fingertips who know you, know your expertise, believe in you and trust you, who would potentially be willing to bring you in to do a speaking engagement, to share your knowledge, to share your story. And I think that can only help to raise your profile and to kind of get you out of, you know, this situation of being the person that, you know, people know if they've worked with you, but kind of building that platform for yourself. Use your network to see what opportunities exist, and also use your network to, once you have this document created or your LinkedIn profile updated, use your network to let them know what you're doing. A lot of times people will create a website or start a job search, but they don't tell people. They don't tell the people in their network. So make sure that once you have your narrative together and you feel strong about, so if it's the pioneering marketing leader, once you kind of have the messaging around what you've done and what you have the potential to do for others, make sure that you let the people in your network know, start setting up coffee dates and lunches to spread the word that you are available, that you have all of this amazing knowledge and wisdom to contribute, and that you would like to contribute it in a way that makes sense for you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. This has been so much fun. Thank you for being my very first video spot coaching session. And for those of you who are watching or listening, please let us know what your experience has been with your job search, especially if you have left an organization that you've been with. If you have any tips for Barbara or any opportunities to bring her in to consult on strategic planning, change management, marketing, brand management, contact her. I will absolutely put a link to her LinkedIn profile below or in the show notes so that you can find her and get to her. But thank you so much, Barbara, for being a part of this inaugural session.
All right. Take care. Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. I am so inspired. And this is really why I love what I do. That was just so exciting to see the blueprint of Barbara's plan for her career search start to take shape. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited to see what she does. So now it's your turn. What did you get out of what I shared with Barbara? Do you have any additional ideas for her? And if you are embarking on a new job search, did you get any good tips that you'll put to use? If so, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on the interwebs at Amanda Miller Littlejohn. I'm there on Facebook and at Amanda Mogul on Twitter. And also, the websites I mentioned to Barbara are one for my self-paced personal branding system, The Branding Box. You can find that at thebrandingbox.com. And then my group program, Package Your Genius Academy, you can find at packageyourgeniusacademy.com. So if you're looking for either a step-by-step personal branding playbook that you can go through at home, or a supportive community of high achievers like you who are also working to make themselves visible, you'll want to check out both of those resources, thebrandingbox.com and packageyourgeniusacademy.com. Until then, I will see you on the next episode. Bye! We'll be right back.